We will now turn to Romans chapter 8 and consider as enabled the words you will find in verse 14, the 14th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, same are the sons of God. The apostle in the beginning of this notable epistle inspired by the Holy Ghost of Romans has pointed out the reality of the sin that is alienates the sinner from God. Pointed out the universal nature of that sin in Jews and in Gentiles, that all are lost and all are sinned and all are brought in guilty before God. He has also brought to the attention of the Roman Church in Rome the faithfulness of the Old Testament Church and the necessity of faith, that great matter of sin, alienation from God, corruption of the whole nature, would be addressed by faith in Christ, faith in Him alone. Given an example from the faithfulness of Abram, who believed the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. We are to become, the apostle is saying, spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham. Not children, though not children after the flesh, yet after the spirit. You remember that incident in the New Testament when Jesus came and he cured this poor woman who was bound over by Satan for 18 years. There was great indignation among those who were of the natural children of Abraham. For they said, it's a Sabbath day, he shouldn't be doing such things. There's 6 days in which such things could be done. But the Lord said, this woman is a child of Abraham. There is the faith that characterized Abraham in her heart. There is the same regard for the living and true God of Israel that Abraham had. There is the same covenant of grace and peace and hope for time, for eternity, and the godliness that has the promise for the life that now is and the life that is to come. There is that same godliness in this poor woman here. Why should the comfort of a act of healing and miracle by Jesus be withheld from her, so that she might stand straight among the children of man, for she's a daughter of Abraham? Well, the apostle takes up the same thought in Romans. We need the faith of Abraham. We need all of us to come in to that family in heaven and on earth, which is known by the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, as Abraham was. So the apostle has spoken concerning the need of faith in the face of manifest and universal sin, and that's faith in the Redeemer. He speaks in the beginning of this chapter here of the weakness of the law. The law was delivered with great circumstance on Mount Sinai. The whole mountain trembled when God descended and declared the 10 words of his commandment. To love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, their neighbor as themselves. The angels themselves were present. there was smoke and darkness and the fire upon the mountain. Every indication that this was a momentous occasion, delivering of this momentous law. The holiness of God was declared. The power of Jehovah was declared. The presence of God and the regard he has for the law. You see how little regard we have in our own day and generation. It is trampled. It is counted an evil thing. Counted an offensive thing. To declare and to abide by the holy divine law of God. What unholy boldness possesses the hearts of sinners to proclaim that unholy, which a holy God has presented to the children of men with so many evidences of his own personal interest in his own law. A declaration of his own mind, as if God was going to change his mind because man had decided that such and such was not appropriate. The Lord has declared his law unequivocally, memorably, blessedly upon Mount Sinai. But Paul here in Romans is saying the law was weak. And what he meant by saying the law was weak was our weakness is such, our waywardness is such, that the law, however clear, however momentously declared, however plainly the mind of God, will not save us, will not bring us to heaven. The law was weak. He couldn't bring us out, he couldn't pull us out of the fearful pit of the miry clay. He couldn't set our feet upon the rock. He could not wash us clean from one sin. Quite the reverse, it identified sin where we never saw it before. It raises up sins of the past that the psalmist mourns over. It causes the psalmist to declare, who can his errors understand? O cleanse thou me within from secret faults. We cannot follow one iota of the law in its holiness, in its breadth. How broad the law of God is. It embraces every thought, every word, every deed, every desire. Is caught in the net of the law. How broad the holy law of God is. And the law was weak. And this great matter of salvation, as we're talking about here, the salvation of sinners, the redemption of sinners, the good hope through grace of sinners, heaven for sinners, that's the great matter he has in view here. And as far as that is concerned, the law is weak. Can it bring one sinner out of darkness into the marvelous light of God's dear Son? We have here then a demonstration of a reminder of the blessedness of those whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, same are the sons of God. That contrast is made very strikingly in the earlier part of the word, where in verse 3, for what the law could not do, ever in the whole history of the human race, the law could not do, that which the law could not do, that is, bring us as repentant sinners to God. That is, bring the soul out of, from under the hand of Satan as a great slave driver of the world, the prince of darkness, to bring them out from under the hand of Satan into the hand of the good shepherd, couldn't do that. Not the law. In that which the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The flesh seeing no sinfulness in sin. The flesh seeing no danger in sin. The flesh not taking home to the heart and life this great truth that the wages of sin is death. That it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That's Jesus. That's the child Jesus, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Spirit of God, and born of her yet without sin. That which shall be delivered of thee, the angel said, is holy, shall be holy, shall be Emmanuel, God with us, with the holiness of God, perfection of God, the faultlessness of God, the clear beauty of the sun rising in a cloudless sky. That which shall be born of thee shall be holy. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, a child wrapped in swaddling clothes laid in a manger. Growing up in a sinful world, yet sinless. Being possessed without measure of the Spirit of God among the fallen, lost, ruined citizens of this fallen world. The likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. That's why he came, to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. To take it away as surely as the scapegoat bore away the sins of the children of Israel, which had been confessed upon its head, while the high priest leaned upon its head and confessed the sins, transferring them as a weight that Israel itself could not bear. Who can his errors understand? But borne away by the scapegoat into the wilderness, not to be seen again. Who is our God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? We have something of that very occasion spoken of by John the Baptist on the occasion of the baptism of Jesus, when Jesus came out of the water, having been baptized by John, and Jesus engaged in prayer, that the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and John the Baptist recognized that sign that he had been given in the wilderness. The one upon whom the dove descends, he is the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. To recall to the mind of the faithful in Israel the bearing away of the sins of the children of Israel ceremonially by the scapegoat or by the lamb. It's all of a piece. It's all the one glorious world of redemption and faith and overcoming and blessing. A covenant world ordered in all things and sure. The morning lamb, the evening lamb, the lamb for the burnt offering, the lamb to bear the sins of his people into the wilderness. It's all one. And it was all resolved and set forth and fulfilled by the Lord himself, who was made in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, for this purpose, for this great and glorious purpose, to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Behold, the Lamb of God. There was only one reason for lamb to be brought to the gate door of the tabernacle as a morning sacrifice. It was for a sacrifice. That was for the shedding of blood. That was for the confession of sin upon its head by the individual offerer, whereby the high priest standing, taking the place of all of the Israel, confessing all of sins collectively and his own sin upon the head of the high priest. Because it was not glorious robes that would take away sin. It wasn't the anointing of the holy anointing oil that would take away sin. It wasn't the blood of the sacrifice upon the lobe of the right ear, or the thumb of the right hand, or the great toe of the right foot that would take away sin. All sins of all God's people, borne down through the years and laid upon Jesus of Nazareth to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. The two elements in that phrase, take away. First, it was a bearing up under the sin. Who could understand his errors? Who could bear the punishment of sin? When the sword of the divine justice of God was laid bare, and when the call went forth, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, smite the shepherd. Who can bear? The sword reaching his very heart. The sword reaching deep into his inward parts. I downward in deep mire to sink, where standing there is none. And that great marvel of this one whom we read here sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh was that this was the son by whom the world was created. There'd be no solidity at all in the world. There'd be no walking to and fro upon the face of the earth unless God had so ordained it, unless his Son had so spoken. So let it be, and it was. But he is the one who finds no solidity here, no place of rest, no place of rest. Downward in deep mire sink. What a law this must be that causes the heart of the Redeemer himself to tremble. What a law. What a weight the burden of sin must be. How lightly we in our ignorance bear it. Oh, it's just today's views. No worse than yesterday. No better than tomorrow. But what does that matter? Let us live today, for tomorrow we die. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, go on. So there was no judgment. So there was no lost eternity. So there was no God to answer to. So there was no burning light of the judgment seat of God to search out every thought and desire and every inclination towards sin. He bore the weight of the sin, and he bore away the guilt of sin. He was made sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. Well, it is within this context that we have these words before us, Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, the same are the sons of God. As many as are. There's no universalism here. We're not all going to heaven, as far as the human race is concerned. There's no easy, broad road leading to heaven. as far as the spirit is concerned. How could it be when it required the coming of the Savior of sinners down from his high place above? At the command of the Father, at the sending of the Father, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. If sin was an easy matter, and easily washed off with a few regrets, I'll repent before I die. I believe before I go to meet my God sometime. But with ease, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, just as it required the intervention of God in order that sin might be answered and the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness, just as it required the immediate sending forth of the Son by the Father and the coming of the Son and the fullness of time to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself, so it requires in the application of it, in the application of it, a divine intervention. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit, the sinner led, the individual sinner, the lost and ruined sinner, the ignorant sinner, the law-offending sinner, led by the Spirit of God. The same, those are they who are the sons of God. Oh, it comes very easily to the tongue. We're all God's children. He won't reject any of his children. That's not the view of the Word of God. The whole counsel of salvation, as many as are led. There were many who came out of Egypt, from under the blood that was over the door and by the lintels. Many heard the voice of Moses, many who apparently obeyed the voice of Moses, outwardly at any rate, and came out of Egypt and passed through between the high walls of water of the Red Sea to a place of praise and farsight, carried on through the wilderness. Many who came through that wilderness, preserved by the goodness and kindness of God, the manna and the water from the rock, led by the Lord, never lost. None of them were lost for lack of guidance. They were lost because they rebelled. Some were lost because they offended the high and the holy one that inhabits eternity. Some were lost because they murmured against the good will of God. When they came to the borders of the promised land, there were many of them who said, "We will not go over. We will not go over. Giants are too big. The walls are too high. It's not for us. Let us appoint another leader. Let us dispense with Moses. And let us return." As many as are led by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. In the New Testament, there were 12 who were called from their nets and from their collecting money as Matthew was at the receipt of custom, but one of them went to his own place. He was no son of God. The mark of a child of this world was upon him. The devil entered into his heart. He was never led by the pure, holy, divine, third person of the Godhead. We are to examine ourselves to see whether we are of the faith. As many as are led, that's the first point here, as many as are led. This is a consistent feature of the Bible. It may be black or white, or whatever color their skin is. They may be old or young. They may be young as Ruth was. They may be old as in the ways of sin, as the sinners grow old in the service of sin and Satan are, as the thief on the cross was. But they have one thing in common. They're all led by the Spirit of God, as many as are led. We have by nature a spirit that desires not to be led. We know where we are. We know where we're going. We know where we've come from. We know our own minds. We'll trust in that. It'll be fine. All will be well. I'm not as bad as you think I am. A man will make his own way according to his own wisdom to heaven. But the constant feature of the Lord's people is that they are led. That which I know not, teach thou me. The way that the Lord's dealt with them, each one of them, Abram, the father of the faithful, he was led out of Ur of the Chaldees and led through the wilderness, became a stranger and a pilgrim. How did he know what to do? He was a stranger. He was a pilgrim. He was going somewhere. He was going to somewhere else. It's a journey with a purpose. How did he know what to do? Where to turn, and when to rest, and when to pitch his tent, and when to fold up his tent and go on. How did he know? He was led by the Spirit of God. How was it that he thought little of that which was called as the Garden of the Lord, which was Sodom and Gomorrah? So green, so pleasant, so inviting, so having the look of safety. Two cities, not going about among strangers and heathens as an individual, subject to the will of his neighbours. How did he? What did he choose? He was led by the Spirit of God. You remember that incident in the Old Testament when Isaac and was sending for a wife for his son. And Abram was sending a wife for his son, and he sent his faithful servant of his to their homeland to fetch back a wife. And the faithful servant did all that was required by his master and came. And he said, when he found this young lady who would suit the purpose of being the wife of Isaac, that he said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. That was the way of prayer. He committed his ways to God. He trusted in him. Turning to the right, turning to the left, choosing this one, refusing this other, the Lord led him. The Lord himself led him. There was but a servant in the house. Ruth is young, and she's a Moabitess. She's out of the land of idolaters. But the Lord is leading her. Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to turn from following after thee. Thy God be my God, thy people my people, where thou diest, let me die, there let me be buried. That was a prayer to heaven, as well as a prayer to her mother-in-law. She was being led. She knew the way, because the Lord had told her. It opened up the way as a light to her feet and a lamp to her path. The world was darkness. Bethlehem was light. The gods of Moab were darkness. The God of Bethlehem and the Israelites and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they were light. He was light. She made choice of him, to follow him, to live for him and to die in him. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Children of Israel were led through the wilderness by the God, by God. Pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. Indeed, there's a verse in the Old Testament which speaks of the Spirit guiding the children of Israel through the wilderness. The Spirit himself guiding them. Even though the Old Testament was not as a great expression of the presence of the Spirit as it was in the New Testament, but the Spirit was there and the Spirit was leading and guiding, inspiring, opening eyes, breathing life into the dead, raising a love to the Lord Jesus, though many years yet before Christ would be born. The Spirit was at work in the Old Testament. In the New Testament church, were led by the Spirit. Some see an indication of this in that incident on the resurrection morning when Jesus rose from the dead and when Mary Magdalene went to the grave and Jesus found her there, that she didn't recognize him at first. Then he said, Mary, and Mary, recognizing the voice, recognized the person as her Lord. And she wanted to hold his feet, but he said, touch me not, touch me not. One commentator sees there a change here, because this was now to be the era of the Spirit of God. And Christ was directing Mary Magdalene away from his physical presence to his presence as revealed by the Spirit of God, so that she would be led by the Spirit of God. He himself was returning whence he had come from heaven above, to sit in the throne of his glory. But the Spirit would be sent for us in the fullness of time, and the Spirit would lead. The Spirit would guide. The Spirit would come on the day of Pentecost as an outpouring of the divine Spirit above. And the apostles would receive those tongues of fire over them, the gift of tongues, the evidences of the presence of the Spirit. But above all, the Spirit would begin that great New Testament work of calling sinners to Christ by the power, the everlasting and blessed power of Christ, of Christ made manifest by the Spirit of God. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you into all truth. He will take the things of mine and show them unto you. Christ would be the light for their feet, the lamp to their path. The Spirit would bring that light and lamp to their very feet and to enlighten their path. Lead you into all truth by the Spirit of God. What a great privilege the people of God have. You remember the privilege children of Israel had of God Himself leading them through the wilderness. And when they sinned grievously in the matter of the golden calf that Aaron had formed for them, the Lord said that He would leave them, and He would send an angel, that an angel would lead them. But Moses, who was one of those led by the Spirit of God, was utterly dismayed. If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. If we are not to be led by the Spirit of God, we are lost indeed. Yet those stomach for such a journey. However glorious the angel would be, he was infinitely less glorious than the glory of the Spirit of God and Christ Himself and the Father's love and care. Carry me not up hence. By the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Same are the sons of God. It's a great commendation. You remember when the prodigal came home, when he came to himself and came home, and the elder brother was saying to the father, why do you kill the fatted calf for him? Why the merrymaking and the dancing in the house for him? He's the prodigal. You wasted your substance with riotous living. His money was for every sin under the sun. He was in the far country. But the Lord said, it is meet that we should rejoice. The father said, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. Sons of God, given him in the covenant of grace, they recognizes such a one. What a high calling the calling of grace is to poor sinners such as you and I are. The same are the sons of God. And if sons, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. What are we heirs to by nature? What has the devil got in his treasure box for us? But his own miserable, lost, ruined company to the endless ages of eternity, that's all. Wasted hopes, a wasted life, hopes dashed, shame and everlasting contempt. That's what the devil has. But here are those who are of the child, who are children of God. Here are those over whom Christ Himself, who was made in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, and condemned sin in the flesh, which Christ travailed in delivering upon the cross. Every one of them required the travail of the cross. And of that travailing, and of these sons, you read, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. The same are the sons of God. The Lord shall rejoice over them, as in the parable of the prodigal son, rejoicing over their returning here, and rejoicing over their very presence and grace to the endless ages of eternity, presenting them to the Father with exceeding great joy. Those that thou hast given me, the family in heaven and in earth, that is named by my name, I have lost none. An entire family entirely redeemed, and at last entirely washed and sanctified. Little wonder the Father was rejoicing. My son, who was dead, is alive again. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, same are the sons of God. With what earnestness we ought to pursue these matters and clarify matters between ourselves and the Word of God and the Spirit of truth. Are we a son or a daughter of God? Are we the marks of the Son? The promise is that the Spirit will bear witness with us if we are. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We ought not to be in doubt. We ought to make our calling and our election sure. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, the same are the sons of God. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us pray. Eternal and ever blessed One, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the promise of thy Spirit, which is the promise of the Father. We pray that that Spirit might be in our hearts. Bless the word. Come out with us in the evening, we pray thee. Bless the word wherever it is declared according to thy mind and will. Set apart thine own day to our own hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen.